Bonjour et bienvenue à CougarCast in direct de Paris. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to CougarCast to me. And good job by Tosh last week. He gave a very hopeful preview to the LSU game, which I'm going to, let's just chalk that up to concussion syndromes for his ambitious and hopeful views on what happened with the LSU Tigers. I watched the game at 3:30 a.m. here local in Paris, and I'm actually flying back home. I will be back in beautiful Provo, Utah, after having a wonderful trip of a lifetime experience here in Paris. The LSU game was unbelievably ugly. We all know that. It is not what we hoped for, and it was what we expected, except for the offense, which was worse than expected. So, Tanner Mangum flat out was not very good in that game. And even worse than Tanner Mangum was the rushing effort by BYU. BYU simply cannot run the football. And I don't know exactly why that is, but it feels like we're not hitting the hole very hard when we run. Feels like we're not attacking and finishing runs when we try to attack from the ground. And that's a problem. The Cougars cannot continue to be one-sided on the offensive side, because really the only option that the Cougars had against the Tigers was to throw the football. Tanner was really the only hope for that team. He had zero help. There was zero threat of being able to run. I think the longest run of the game was a Tanner Mangum scramble. And the point is that he was all alone and trying to handle things. Well, when the defense knows exactly what's coming at them every down, when they can sell out, that is problematic. So I've learned an important lesson as it relates to offensive football. You have to be able to do both. You have to be able to run, because it then causes the defense to come forward. Safeties have to cheat forward. They have to look in the backfield rather than read receivers right away, and they got to make adjustments in order to make a tackle. Meanwhile, on the pass, if you can pass effectively, you can sink the safeties further back, which opens up the run, and so it goes. Well, last year, the problem the Cougars had was that they were unbelievable running the football. They were very good. Jamal Williams was outstanding running, but they were not good at throwing the football, and as a result, our offense was not very good at all. This season, we cannot run worth a lick. The Cougars can't run the football at all, and the passing game has yet to find its feet. In fact, it's looked very, very poor. As bad as the passing's looked, I have to say, it is clearly the best option for the Cougars right now. It is a better choice to throw the football rather than it is to run the football. The other problem I have with what the Cougars did offensively is that when you play a team like LSU, when you're the underdog, when the onus is upon you to go out and take the game away, you have to play like an underdog, which means you've got to take more shots down the field. You've got to throw interceptions, as long as they're downfield interceptions. You've got to make sure that you are attempting to move the ball downfield. The Cougars took one shot, where the football traveled downfield over 20 yards. Won the entire game against LSU. Well, you can't dink and dunk your way up the field. Beyond that, of course, we didn't pass the 50, so what were we achieving? What was going on? Clearly, they need to look more downfield and let it fly. That's where they have the best chance. LSU obviously had a very good defense that was probably the best defense BYU has seen, you know, in a long time. Certainly since the Michigan game, I think this group that LSU put out was very good. One thing that makes a defense look really good is when they know exactly what is coming their direction. Think back on the LSU game, even Portland State. When did it seem like the defense was confused? Do you remember a time where you had a receiver running free because the defense was just completely lost and lost track of somebody? You can't, right? That was one of the beautiful things that Matt Canada did as the offensive coordinator for LSU. He did a lot of things pre-snap with movements, with the way they aligned, when they looked like it was going to be a run play and they passed because there they are lined up power eye and now they're going for a pass. They're doing things to confuse their opponent. Ty Detmer has yet, in my opinion, this season, to really put together a really nice drive, which has been highlighted by the fact that he's really confused the defense. We've yet to line up or move pre-snap in a way which really opens things up or gets the defense confused and pointing around and they're really communicating. It looks like they know exactly what's coming on. A lot of the focus this week, as people have been talking about the offense, has been that we weren't physical enough, that the receivers just simply weren't physical enough, that the offensive line didn't get into the defensive linemen strong enough to allow them the opportunity to give time to Tanner and let him work. While I agree that it's important to be physical, you do need to play physical football. I would much, 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 much rather have an offense that confuses a defense rather than overpowers and overwhelms a defense. And that's the key. With BYU, and this has always been the key with BYU, you simply cannot out-athlete and out-physical every opponent on the schedule. In fact, every high-level opponent that the Cougars play, they have to outsmart them. They have to line up in a way that confuses their opponents. They need to provide their opponents. The other sidelines needs to have fits because they are busy trying to sort out what it is that BYU is up to. Right now, it is extremely clear what BYU is up to. I bet that all of us watching will have a very strong ability to indicate whether it's a run, a pass, and even left, right, or even Tanner's reads, okay? Honestly, I've watched the games, the Portland State game, when I was in the stadium, I was literally telling my father, as I got a chance to go to the game with him, what was coming next, and I was right like 60% of the time. I think you guys would be right too if you paid attention, and I think that it's not that hard of a feat, and if I know, I promise you, that the University of Utah knows, just as Portland State knew, and certainly just as Louisiana State University knew exactly what was coming at them when BYU lined up across the way from them. So, that's a Ty Detmer problem. Tanner made bad throws. He made bad reads. His body language was weird. He panicked. He was overwhelmed by what was going on. He straight panicked. We've seen that from him before. We've also seen him recover from the panic, and we saw that the last time Tanner started against the University of Utah. I felt like Tanner panicked a little bit in the Las Vegas Bowl before he finally settled in after halftime. That was an excellent coaching job that was put in by Robert and I. Well, he did not settle in against LSU. He did not ever find his feet in that entire game. And he needed to do so. These are the pains that we suffer because we have a second-year offensive coordinator who had previous experience coaching a minor level of Texas high school football. Also was a very good quarterback in his own right, played in the NFL. I get all of that. But experience calling plays, experience taking care of the psychology of quarterbacks and taking care of everything that they go through. Certainly he has some of that, but to do it at kind of this major level, Division I football level at his alma mater, he's just new to it. Beyond that, Tanner only got to play 1 year. It's his first few games within the new system with this brand new coach. And they didn't know how to interact with each other. And the dividends of having Taysom play instead of Tanner are manifesting themselves when Tanner goes out there and looks panicked and does not find a way to settle into a game. And so, to me, that's why last year I thought it was worth it to try to go with Tanner instead of Taysom, because hopefully this year when you played a game against an LSU, we wouldn't have a moment where some panic came in and everything shut down. Well, here we are. That's what happened. So the question is, what is it that BYU can do to put Utah off balance? I have a couple suggestions. First, I think the Cougars need to do a lot more screen passes. I think they need to get the ball outside right away, make some quick passes, and go let some of their athletes on the outside make some plays. I think that they need to make more pre-snap movement. I think that we almost never see motion, and I think that there needs to be more of that. I think that they need to call a draw play, but not do it when it's 3rd and 18. I think that you need to throw a draw play in there when it's 2nd and 8. I think that they've got to find a way to run the football. I mean, they just have to be able to run. If they can't run, okay, would Johnny Linehan finish tied for 3rd for the most rushing yards for the Cougars? Like, they had -1 yard rushing against LSU. If you can't run the football, it's over. Like, everything is over. You can't pass unless you can't run even a little. Like, you have to prove that you can push the ball forward more than 2 yards. And I'm still not totally convinced of that. I mean, we couldn't run against Portland State. So that makes me nervous about the Utah game. But they have to be able to run. But again, some pre-snap movement, some confusing the defense, you know, maybe a run that goes to the outside, a counter play. Frequently we're going straight on, you know, maybe a jet sweep, you know, faking a jet sweep, all of those things could help. So those are Ty Detmer issues. Execution upon those things, that's a Tanner Mangum issue, and also the running backs issue. But Ty needs to give them an opportunity where they are snapping the ball and the defense isn't like 60 to 90% sure or even 100% sure what's coming their way. And that is simply just not happening. There's more conversations to have on this. Tosh and I had a long text exchange back and forth about the pro-style offense and whether that's really a sustainable plan for BYU long-term. I will talk with Tosh about that after the Utah game when we're in a room together. But those are a few of my thoughts from the LSU game. Now we'll turn it over to Tosh real quick to give us a little bit of a look into some of his thoughts on the LSU game, a few of his reactions to what I've had to say here. Again, sorry for the weird way that CougarCast has been this season, but fortunately we've been blessed to travel a little bit, and fortunately Tosh is blessed to have not been so injured from his accident. So things get back to normal next week. Rivalry games are on, but for now we'll turn it over to Tosh and then I'll close out the show with you. Thank you.
Hey, this is Tosh doing another solo edition of CougarCast. We got Keith already did his part from Paris, me doing my part from Provo. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the LSU game, because if you're listening to this, you care enough about BYU that game broke your heart already enough. In reality, I feel like that was tied for 2nd and 3rd of my worst moment as a BYU football fan, watching a game and just feeling gross. Like, that and the Michigan game were a tie, and the only game that I feel like sucked worse as a fan was the 54-10 game against Utah. So anyway, that gets us to this week's show, and that game against Utah matters more. And so if we win this week, I'm feeling great again. All is well. That's what I actually like about how this schedule played out. We find a way to win this week. I'm feeling good. And we're right back on track. And it's actually gone. That's the other thing we got to remind ourselves. As football fans, almost all of us predicted a loss against LSU. So the fact that it was uglier, yeah, is discouraging, but ugly doesn't matter at the end of the day as long as we can get back on track. So anyway, let's look forward to Utah. So Utah is, as always, defense first. Their defense is, for as long as I can remember, has been better than their offense, and that is true this year. Their best players on defense are their safety, Chase Hansen, who, Lone Peak kid, so Utah County kid, BYU family, but wanted to play quarterback at Utah and then got immediately switched to defense. So anyway, he is their he's their best player, in my opinion, or maybe a tie with their star defensive tackle, Lowell Lotulelei, who is Star's brother, who dominates in the NFL. Those two guys are their beasts. Their linebacking core doesn't scare me. Their defensive backs, with the exception of Chase Hansen, are new. And yeah, I think they have a lot of athleticism in their defensive backfield, but I still like when guys are... This is a lot of their first time against a D1 opponent. I mean, they played North Dakota. As bad as our offense was against LSU, we should still be able to put some better offense out there and give them a different look than North Dakota gave them. So with their defense, we need to make sure we're not letting their D-line, which is their strength, hurt us, which is easier said than done. A lot of rankings have Utah's defensive line ranked higher than LSU's. So we are going to have our work cut out against their defense. Their offense does not scare me. I like our matchup of our defense versus their offense. That they've got a new quarterback that really surprised people because their quarterback last year is returning, was named a captain, and then in fall camp got beat out by Tyler Huntley, a guy from the state of Florida, young guy. I think he's a redshirt freshman. Really good runner, pretty adequate but not great passer so far, but he could develop into that. But he's got a little bit of what I would call Taysom Hill syndrome, where right now he trusts his feet a lot more than he does his arm. Especially when you get out there with the big boys and you go with what has gave you success your whole life. And right now that's his legs. He had 18 carries against North Dakota, which I smile when I see that because this guy is skinny. He's not built like a Taysom Hill, and even Taysom Hill couldn't handle that many carries. Tyler Huntley, if he's trying to run it 18 times against Butch Paiu and our defense, is going to take some licks. And so that could be part of this game of how well is he going to be able to stay healthy running the ball as often as he does. He's an adequate passer. He started the game last game early with a pick, but he came back and threw some touchdowns, and he'll make us play honest, and we're going to have to play – we're going to have to play his pass and his run for sure. Their most dynamic offensive player is Carrington. Darren Carrington, the transfer from Oregon. Again, if you're listening to this podcast, I think you probably already know enough about his story, but I'll throw it out there anyway. Pretty controversial because he got kicked out of Oregon for multiple offenses of lots of different things. He's been suspended. The national championship game he was suspended from for different things. He got in trouble this most recently for a DUI. He got kicked out of their program, but Utah swoops in, picks him up, and the guy doesn't even have to sit out a game. So, I mean, it's kind of the world of college football is crazy. I believe in second chances. So even if he sat out a game, he'd still be playing against BYU. So I'm not that hurt about it, but I am kind of surprised. Darren Carrington is a freak athlete. He's an NFL receiver. He's the one that beat Utah last year, and That is going to be their player that we must stop. He was their whole passing offense last game. He had more receiving yards than the rest of their receiving yards combined. That we need to watch Darren Carrington. Tyler Huntley likes to throw the ball to Darren Carrington. We need to shut that down. But they do have a balanced offense. Zach Moss is a good running back. Last year when Butch made Joe Williams retire during that game, Zach Moss came in and played pretty well. And he had over 100 yards in their game last week. We're going to have to stop Zach Moss. And Utah, although they had all this hype about their new offensive coordinator, they still played very much Utah football, where they tried to control the ball. They ran it a lot with their quarterback and with their running back. And Carrington was their pass threat. So that's a little bit about Utah. BYU, here's how what we need to do. One, I'll start out with saying our defense will be fine. I really think our defense is going to get really good by the end of the year. Yeah, the LSU game, they have some blame, but they actually played pretty admirably in spots. And there are some guys that are stepping up. Chris Tonga, our defensive tackle, he's the one that blew up and gave it that goal line stand on the fourth down. He is getting better each game, and the coaches are high on him. He looks the part, man. I love me some Tonga. Fred Warner's looking great. Talkie Talkie's looking great. If Talkie Talkie was on LSU, he would be a starter on their defensive line. He was one of the best players on the field on Saturday, and we need him to be in Huntley's face, pressuring him, forcing errant throws, hitting him, making him nervous back there. One thing I need to see step up is our defensive backs. We cannot leave guys as wide open as we have been. I love our defensive backs, so I'm not sure what's going on there. Our offense right now, what we need to do against Utah is, one, continue to put Bushman in different matchups. As bad as our offense sucked last game, Bushman still continues to impress. That guy cannot be guarded by linebackers, and he gives misfits to safeties and corners because he's so big and athletic. And so we need to find ways to get it to Bushman, but Mangum can't fall into the trap of trying to force it to Bushman, and some of that was going on against LSU. Mangum needs to get back to being Mangum. I don't know any better way to say that, but right now he just does not look like himself, and I'm all worried, and we could give a lot of ideas of why. But right now he just needs to get back to the gunslinger, powerful arm. But yeah, we remember the Hail Mary bombs, and I'm fine for him to throw a few more of those than we have been. But I also remember like the assassin that he was in the UCLA game. And against, I believe it was East Carolina, when he pulled his hamstring but then came back and won us the game. Like, he wasn't just throwing up 50-50 balls in those games. He was just strategically passing the ball to the right man all the way down the field. We need that again. We need Mangum. Their pass defense, I think, is going to be not nearly as good as LSU's. We need to pass the ball to be able to put Utah on their heels. And then here's the wild card on this game. So our running backs so far have been underwhelming. And whether we want to blame that on the line or the running backs, I think it's a mix of both. The player to watch this week is the return, or really the first time, the Ulatulatau, the phenom from East High School, the 250-pound running back that committed to Wisconsin and then transferred here after his mission. That guy is going to be playing his first game. I wouldn't be surprised if our coaches really give him a lot of run and see what he can do. And if he's anything like he was, especially in spring ball when he was healthy, he was a little bit banged up in fall camp, and that's why we haven't seen him so far. But he's big and fast and hits the holes hard. I think he could be the surprise of the game that really actually gets us a running game and really changes our offense if that happens. So anyway, that's a little recap on both teams. Now let's go into how BYU could win this game. And one thing that I actually like is that we have less expectations rolling into this game than I feel like we have in a long time against Utah. And why does that matter? Because anyone who's watched BYU-Utah games knows that BYU comes out looking tight. Like, I'm not telling you guys anything new. I feel like we stress too hard, whether we're just trying too hard, whether the expectations and the hope of the fan base is just making us warp. But for whatever reason, mentally, Utah has kicked our butts at the beginning of every game. And hopefully this loss and this embarrassment against LSU, Utah is now favored in this game. BYU fans, I feel like, are in a bad place right now. And that I actually think that that could help our football team. I feel like that we could come in here playing looser. We got less to lose. I mean, if we come out, people are not expecting much. So they can shock the world and surprise the world. I feel like sometimes it's easier to play in that way than it is when you're expected to win, but you've beat them 5 times. Because the funny thing is, we've been the favorite in this game a lot, but then just continue to lose. So that's one thing I hope helps. Here's the other side of that coin, though. If BYU has several bad offensive possessions to start this game, I think that pressure on the offensive staff, on the offensive players, from the crowd, it could get ugly if BYU goes the first quarter, the second quarter, without some good offensive production. I'm worried that we'll start to unravel. So my key to the game, BYU needs to come out playing looser and better than we've started. If we can get on the board early, I feel like if we can get a lead, I really, really like our chances. And even if we don't get on the lead, if they score and then we score, if we can just show offensively and show our players mentally, offensively, we're going to be fine. I like our chances. I think Utah's limited on offense. I feel like defensively, they're not as good as they have been in past years. Their D-line is still freakishly good. That's what scares me. I've gone back and forth on this prediction a lot. I mean, Vegas has this game being tight. So I know you guys think I'm crazy because I'm picking the Cougars after the last win. But a couple days ago, Vegas had BYU is the favorite. Now we're just slightly behind. I still think we're at home. Our players are going to come out gangbusters to get that bad taste out of their mouth. BYU wins this game 20-19. Next week, BYU fans are happy again, and we're celebrating in the streets that this curse is broken. Have a good one.
Okay, so there you have it. Tosh has the Cougars over the Utes. 20-19. Listen, if you think there's any way that I'm going to allow myself to give the dignity to the Utes by predicting that they're going to win, you are living on another planet, my friend. I'm also going to take the Cougars just because I'm a fan and because I can't possibly bring myself to predicting that the Utes are going to win. I just can't do it. I cannot do it. Couple things I want to add on with Tosh. First, I think you need to watch for body blow theory. That defense was on the field for over 40 minutes against LSU. That's a tough, physical LSU offensive line. They had to make a lot of tough tackles against those huge LSU running backs who were fast and strong and were breaking tackles left and right. And bringing them down every single time was an absolute drain. So I think that you need to worry a little bit about fatigue and body blow theory. BYU has not done particularly well when it's been the week after playing a top P5 team that they struggle in those scenarios. And certainly, this body blow theory exists for a lot of teams where, you know, when you play the tough games, when you're in emotional tough games, it's hard to come back the very next week and play another huge game. So it'll be very interesting to see how BYU handles the fatigue factor. Utah's coming off of playing North Dakota, not as big of a factor, and it's really going to be a big deal for BYU. They've actually got more to deal with when it comes to that. The other thing is I think that Tosh was right when he said that the defense has actually done better than what maybe we would have thought against LSU. I think LSU provided a lot of interesting looks. I actually think that against Darius Geis, even though they handed him the football off time and time again, they actually gave Darius Geis a little bit of a tougher time than he's accustomed to. Geis finished with only 4 yards a carry rather than he's accustomed to finishing a game around 7 yards a carry. So they made life a little tougher on him. The most important thing, and Tosh touched on it briefly, for this defense is that they were able to step up big in the red zone. They held LSU, I believe, 3 times on third and goal scenarios. And that's a big, big deal that they were able to stop LSU in the red zone 3 times was huge. You know, a third and goal scenario is a 4-point play. And what I mean by that is if you score a touchdown, then you're going to put up 7 on the board. If you don't score a touchdown, you only get to put up 3 on the board. Well, BYU faced third and goal defensively against LSU and were able to win all 3 times on third and goal. So this year, they're 3-0 against those 4-point play scenarios. And then one of the times, LSU went for it on fourth and goal, and as Tosh lined out, Kyrus Tonga, he was able to blow that play up and hold him on that 7-point play on fourth and goal. So the Cougars, in these really big moments in the red zone, were very effective. You know, on fourth and goal, they were perfect. On third and goal, they were perfect in the red zone. So you can be proud of that heading into the game. I'm with Tosh. I think the BYU defense can do things to make life tough on Utah. I think that if you can shade over to Carrington, like he's saying, you provide doubles, you provide man over the top help, and you make the freshman go through his reads and read underneath and check down, hey, that's winning football. Okay, you can't get beat downfield. You got beat once against LSU. You can't allow that to happen, especially not to a freshman quarterback. It's not a particularly strong passer who's going to run more than he is going to let it fling downfield. They're going to do things to try to shade to Carrington and make sure that he doesn't get loose and make sure that they have the ability to kind of keep that all in check. Force Huntley to try to run, and if they can get the Utah quarterback uncomfortable, try to get him to run a little bit more, what the Cougars can begin doing is really selling out on the run, coming forward, moving the safeties up. And really, honestly, I think you, in some ways, challenge Huntley to try to beat you downfield, because I think that's going to be some winning football for the BYU defense. And the last thing that I'll touch on, I think that it's going to be really, really important for the BYU fans. I believe in energy affecting things, and I can just see, and Tosh, again, hit on this, he did a good job, but I can absolutely see the Cougar fans having a little bit of a meltdown if something goes wrong. Okay, one of the scariest moments of my life, one of the ways in which I manifested my soul in a negative way was when, you know, I had focused so much on the importance of not turning the football over and how crazy important that is, and it is, and it will be again. But to make sure that we can't spot Utah points on the scoreboard, and we've done it in the last 2 games right away on our first drive by giving up a pick 6. Jake Heap spotted them, of course. We continue to spot these guys points off turnovers all the time. So when I was so focused on that, but when Taysom went out there and on his very first play of the game, he threw the pick 6 I was a scary man. I was in my basement screaming, hitting things. I mean, it was as unhinged as I can remember being in a long, long time. And I guess what I want to say about that is that I think that if something really bad happens, I think the crowd, because of the losing streak, because of how much Utah has really taken over in terms of results on the scoreboard, I just think that energy within the crowd can be, you know, really negative and actually will seep down into the players. It could really negatively affect the game in some ways. And so it will be important for the Cougar fans to kind of hang in there and try to keep up the optimism and keep it going. I think that'll be really, really critical, because I can just see, you know, the groans starting to happen if it gets to be 14-0 and all these things. All of those things could really, really kill things in Lavelle Edwards Stadium that night. So in a lot of ways, the positive vibes, the continued belief, the support and all that stuff from fans, actually, I think will have an impact on the game, because I think the players, I think the energy just on the field, just the here we go again aspect that can come from all this could just murder our chances. And so it's, I guess, a plea from me and a reminder to me to try to keep it together, to try to keep things in perspective, and to think about, you know, it's a long game, different things are happening. It'll be really important, as Tosh mentioned, for the Cougars to not allow those emotions to even enter the building. They need to show that they have some fight in them early on, and they cannot spot points to Utah. Simply because not only is it just a bad idea to spot points to Utah on defensive touchdowns, especially early in the game, but it simply is a bad idea because you're at home, a bunch of frustrated fans, you just came off, you know, a bad game, and you've lost to Utah time and time again, and getting a win over Utah would feel so nice for fans, so nice for the program, that I just think that if you allow yourself to get in that position again, where things are going the wrong way, that would be potentially devastating to the team, and it could get ugly, potentially, because I think that the negativity from the stands, you know, it could potentially go to the field. So, can't let that happen. Even still, we're going to hang in there. I think that despite all this stuff, maybe Tua Tagovailoa is the solution running the football, Squally Canada running the football. I hope that you're going to see things like screens. I think you're going to see draws, hopefully, on first downs when maybe they're not expecting them. I hope that Ty Detmer can put together some things that really offers Utah some things to think about. And they're stuck between two minds and trying to figure out what's going on here. I think if we can do some of those things offensively, I think you're going to see the BYU offense start to execute in a better level. I think if we can do some of the things, like I mentioned, Shade Carrington, you know, do as much as we can to make Huntley uncomfortable targeting Carrington, and then just tackle well and make Huntley be the guy that beats us with his legs, that's great. If the Cougars can make Utah run, I'll take our chances on trying to make them run and make Huntley check down on his throws. I think all of those things would work, and will keep Utah from scoring big. So I think the Cougars are going to have to grind this out. It's the Utes. Always is a slog. Body blow, I just don't see the Cougars being super able to just go out and just whip the Utes. It just doesn't seem like something that's even possible. I don't think we've really taken it to the Utes and won by a lot since the 90s. So I'm going to take BYU, and I will take them at a score of 17-14 over the University of Utah the difference in the game will be a Rhett Almond field goal because he's automatic from 40 yards in, thanks to my man Blaine Fowler. Okay, so that's it for this week's Cougar Cast. I'm sorry again that it's been such a disheveled structure with Tosh and I being on different sides of the earth and him having his accident. I think next week we're completely back, and we'll be excited to bring you a full-on preview with the two of us in the same room again. Looking forward to that, and really looking forward to BYU getting a win over Utah on Saturday night.